Now, ahead of the Paralympic Games this summer, I thought it was a good time to discuss a sport. And I'm joined on the line now by Barney Cullum, External Communications Officer with the Leonard Cheshire Disability Trust. And yes, there's been some new research and a poll out with a lot of statistics around why disabled people feel shut out of sport and exercise. Why is it that you think that disabled people aren't doing as much exercise as able-bodied people?
Yeah, well, the research you mentioned, that research was done by Leonard Cheshire with ComRes. Over 2,000 people were surveyed, and the main reason that came out of it, the main barrier, was just simply a lack of suitable, accessible sports for disabled people being provided by leisure centres, gyms and other providers.
So do you think this is a problem with gyms and sports facilities in the first place, you know, having a misapprehension about what's expected of their facilities?
When it's decided what sports are going to be available within leisure centres, that's actually decided by the local councils. It'll be them that will decide where the money goes, what sports will be underwritten by the council. And currently it seems that there's an ignorance within these providers that one in five people are disabled, and there's a real appetite from disabled people, as there is with non-disabled people, to participate. So there's just a lack of understanding there. And maybe a fear that large infrastructure overhauls or expensive new facilities would be required, when in actual case, that isn't the case at all. For example, boccia. It's a sport that can be played by people with the most severe disabilities. It's a bit like pétanque or bowls. So mobility isn't a barrier for people to play. And that sport, balls themselves, they only cost £200. And they can be played, that sport can be played within pre-existing badminton courts, which are available in most leisure centres. So it doesn't have to be expensive at all.
Depending on your disability, you could get involved in other sports. For example, if you're blind or partially sighted and you were keen to do running or sprinting, there's not a whole lot of equipment expected to get involved in that. So there's other options out there.
Yeah, sport doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be by any stretch. Some sports are more expensive than others. There's no overheads there at all, other than the cost of investing in running shoes.
So we're also joined by Ganesh Singh, who lives in Guyana, a country in the north of South America, and he's a visually impaired sprinter. Hi, Ganesh, how you doing?
I am quite well.
Tell us more about what sports you are involved with.
I am involved in playing blend cricket, which is very, very popular in this part of the world. But I'm also involved in some athletics because we are currently trying to get Guyana prepared to participate in the 2016 Paralympics, because we never had a Paralympic team from Guyana going to those games. So as well as being a sports person, I'm also a sports administrator, trying to get things happening for young people with visual disabilities. Because we see sport, as in most other countries, as a vehicle for the whole empowerment of people with varying types of disabilities, more so visual disabilities.
So in your work as an advocate for more Paralympic sport, what sort of barriers have you encountered?
The first or major barrier is the whole attitude of policymakers. They do not see persons with disabilities as having the capacity or the ability to participate or play sports, because we have a very negative culture in Guyana towards disability. They see persons with disabilities as individuals that should be at home and not be very active. And we're trying to change that. Once we can change that attitude, you know, things will happen, because policymakers will be forced to ensure that programs are in place for people with visual disabilities. And we've had some successes, because with the Guyana Disability Act that was legislated and signed into law in 2010, there is a few articles that speak directly to sports for people with disabilities, but they are very vague. But we are still using those articles to advocate to parliamentarians and other policymakers to ensure that sports for people with disabilities, sports and programs are there. And the government, they have been making some strides, but nothing significant thus far. But we're hoping that this year things can, you know, move a little more faster. And we're seeing some of that, because there's a new government in place and they're showing a more positive inclination towards people with disabilities and sports.
Yeah, that sounds like good news. It sounds quite promising, but change can be slow and still a long way to go. We were discussing before with Barney about there's some hesitation for people to get involved in disability sport because they think that there's going to be a lot of expensive equipment that they're going to need to make the sport accessible. But that's not always the case, is it?
No, it's not. And a lot of times, most of these equipment, gears and other things that are needed, they are provided by the association or the relevant body that oversees that sport, because the Paralympic structure, how it is, each Paralympic game or each sport for someone with a visual disability, there is an oversight body, and that body is responsible for the administration and the implementation of sporting programs for that specific sport, and they will look after equipment and so on. And that is how we've been doing it here, because people in Guyana with disabilities, most of them are impoverished. Most of them, their sole source of income is approximately $5 per month. That's their only dependable or reliable income. And that is what they get from government. Other than that, it depends on the charity of others. We have a very low employment rate for people with disabilities. So there isn't the expectation that these people would have to find their own equipment and gears. And I don't think they even think that they have to. They just want more sports to be involved in.
Yes, it's very important to clear up some of those misconceptions, to break down the barriers and really encourage people to just get involved as much as they can. And I think another thing that is really good for getting people involved is hearing people relate their own stories about the successes that they've had. And you were telling us a bit before about the cricket you're involved in. Can you tell us about some of the sports that you do and why you enjoy doing them?
I'm a big fan, and I'm also an administrator for blind cricket. And, you know, I love the game. I have a great passion, because blind cricket was solely responsible for the transformation of my life. At the age of 17, I acquired blindness due to glaucoma. And I was home for 5 years being depressed and isolating myself from all sectors of society. I was just home. And when I heard about blind cricket being introduced in Guyana, I got involved in blind cricket at age 22. And that is where my life basically changed, because from coming out of home, interacting with other blind persons, seeing what they can do, traveling to other Caribbean territories, and being inspired by other blind persons throughout the Caribbean, I was able to, you know, achieve a whole lot, you know, from that break that I got. I also represented the West Indies blind cricket team and so on at a Blind Cricket World Cup in 2006. Blind cricket provided me with that foundation to transform my life. I'm now very successful, and I'm using my success and my achievements to really advocate for others and trying to empower them. That is why I say sports is a great or a major vehicle for the empowerment of people with disabilities. And that is how we view it in Guyana. And I'm sure other people around the world, they do the same.
Ganesh, that's fantastic. It really just proves the ability of sport to transform people's lives for the better in a very positive way. So thank you for sharing that. It is a really exciting year, 2016, with the Rio Paralympics coming up.
Yeah, we're just close by because we're on the South American coast.
What's the atmosphere like in South America at the moment?
Although we are on the South American mainland, our culture is a Caribbean, because we were a former English colony.
Right.
But we do have a large Brazilian population here. And there is a buzz. There is a buzz about the Olympics. And a lot of persons are making plans actually to go over to Brazil, because it's not that costly, because you can travel via land.
Yes, it's really exciting. I'm so looking forward to the summer of sport and watching it on the TV. The Paralympics is just really, really competitive and exciting just fantastic to watch. So Ganesh was saying there that there's a barrier in his country, particularly the Paralympic, just doesn't have the awareness or the support around it, that there's not even a society, let alone a team, to encourage people to get into sport. So how important do you think education and awareness is for sporting organizations to realize that there's a real demand and a positive need for this Paralympic activity?
Well, the International Paralympic Committee is very inclusive. You'll see almost 200 countries sending teams to the Paralympic Games in Brazil this year. What Ganesh has encountered is his government don't want to fund the Paralympic Association They're happy to fund social care, but not sport. So perhaps that's one area where that country behind maybe other countries globally.
But if there's any disabled listeners listening to this interview right now, Barney, what would you say to them to encourage them to get out, get active, go to their local gym, see what sports are available to them?
Well, we know from the survey the appetite is there. Disabled people want doors to be open so they can play more sport. The benefits of it, you can meet new people. It can be good for confidence. It can be good for morale. I know at one of Leonard Cheshire's homes in London, we've done some other analysis of people's mental health following their exposure to sports that we've connected disabled people to. Over 250 people for that study, and 98% of the people that we monitored, their mental health improved following exposure to sports ranging from sailing to boxing and from boccia to tennis.
Barney and Ganesh, thank you so much for speaking with me today on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the opportunity.